Welcome to Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday. With your host, Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio WOKV is brought to you by Community First Credit Union, Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Baptist Health, and by Ticket Exchange. Now, here's your host, the always happy, always positive, always effervescent, man of a thousand smiles, Vic Ketchman.
That's right. Mr. Happiness is here. I'm Vic. This is Jaguars Monday. A very, very good Monday, too, by the way. You knew that. Jaguars win in overtime, 23-20. Oh, what today could have been, would have been, if the Jaguars hadn't rallied, if David Garrard hadn't somehow come back out in that field and driven that team down to a touchdown that gave them the lead, and then taken the team down in overtime to the win. I shudder to think what this night, what these 2 weeks would be like. We have a show next. By the way, I found out today, we do have a Jaguars Monday show next Monday, even though there is no game Sunday. So we would have had to chew on this one. We would have had to chew on Leonard Little's 36-yard interception return for a touchdown, had that held up, had that stood up as the game winner. We would have had to chew on that for 2 weeks. Let me see. How would this have gone? First of all, David Garrard would have been assailed. Every fan in town would have called for him to be replaced. He would have been blamed for the hurricanes in the Pacific. He'd have been blamed for everything. Anger would have abounded. Coach Del Rio says, forget about what ifs. Well, that's his business. You know, coaches don't deal with what ifs, but we deal with what ifs, and the what ifs are fantastic when you consider what they would have been if the Jaguars hadn't rallied to win that game yesterday, but they did rally and they did win. And there are some really interesting twists late in that game. I like that game. I like that game a lot. I know it was against the Rams, who aren't a good team. And, yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't think the Jaguars are a good team. We'll find out later. I'm not ready to crown them. But I like the game. I thought the two teams played at a high level. I thought Mark Bolger was really good looking yesterday, especially in the early going. Maurice Jones-Drew was fantastic. Steven Jackson is a thoroughbred. Eugene Monroe had a fantastic game. Jaguars' run defense looked really good.
Don't forget Torrey Holt.
Torrey Holt looked young. I said to him after the game in the locker room, I said, did you turn the clock back today? Did you all of a sudden just get young because you're playing your former team? He laughed and he admitted, yeah. Hmm. It gave him that young feeling again. He looked like he could do something with the ball after he caught it. He looked like he was jumping higher, running faster, moving with more ease. So anyhow, maybe that's what the bye week does. It is a carrot, and coaches really dangle that carrot. And the Jaguars have a very good record in games that precede the bye week. I think they're now won their last five or something like that. And, of course, I want to hear what you have to say. We have callers ready to go, so let's go to them. Let's talk to John in Daytona. Good evening, John.
Hi, Vic. How are you doing tonight?
Couldn't be better.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment. I had one of my questions answered in your column today.
Okay.
And it wasn't really that the Jags are, like, you know, playoff bound. It's just the fact that yesterday's attendance, you would have thought we were like the Rams, 0-6, and, you know, not actually a team that's been competing. And I don't understand, you know, after the Rams made that kick with 3 seconds left, what was with the mass exodus of everyone leaving the stadium?
Yeah, well, the fans in Jacksonville are proud. They're proud football fans. They don't like being nailed, but they're being nailed. They're being nailed across the country. Peter King took a swipe at him last week. He said all the seats are there'll be no empty seats this weekend. The Jaguars are tarping them all. Ooh, you know, what a shot that is. St. Louis Post-Dispatch editorial this morning just ripped Jacksonville. Just ripped Jacksonville for yesterday's crowd. It's open season on Jacksonville, and everyone's taking shots. What defense is there? What can anybody say in retaliation? Tickets distributed yesterday. 42,088. 42,088 tickets distributed. That's horrible. That's not bad. That's horrible. That, I think, is the lowest of the season. We had a 49 for the Tennessee game and I think a 46 for the Arizona game. I'm very concerned, and I think everybody is very concerned about that December 17th game against Indianapolis, Thursday night game. You know, late season Thursday night game. Ooh, boy, there are some real ingredients there for empty seats. The city is so concerned that it has come to the Jaguars and asked them, what can we do to help? I mean, the city is pushing ticket sales because the city is really concerned about its image, about the image of Jacksonville when that game was put on national television. If the seats are empty, it's going to be seen, and it's going to look bad for this town. As far as people leaving yesterday, as the game got near overtime, that's up to them. If they have things to do, if they've got babysitters that they have to send on their way, if they've got, I got so many excuses today. I got one guy said he had to pick up his car at the shop by 5 o'clock. Someone said they had to, they couldn't afford to pay a babysitter another hour. I got at least 100 people who said that they didn't leave, they had to pee. All right. And so they went to the bathroom. They said where there was just an overflow of people. But they said they all went back to their seats, which is baloney, because I sit in the press box and I have a perfect view of the Hart Bridge. A perfect view of the Hart Bridge. And I saw in overtime, I saw the cars going out in single file up the ramp, out the Hart Bridge. And those were not people who were going to the bathroom and coming back. But that's okay. There is no obligation to buy a ticket, to stay to the end of the game, or anything else. No one is going to hold anyone's hands to the fire. But I want everyone to understand the image is taking a hit. And when you decide to exercise, you know, your freedom of choice, and when that freedom of choice is, I'm not going to the game, the town is going to take a hit, and it is taking a big, big hit right now. Anything else, John?
No, I agree. So, I mean, the last two games they've missed. You know, of course, a blowout, and I actually thought the Rams game was more exciting. You know, it was 10-6 going into the final 15 minutes, and just all that transpired in like the last 8 minutes was what the game.
It's probably the best game I've seen since the Houston game a year ago, which was overtime. You know, we didn't have a lot of good games last year, and I know that hurts attendance too. You see, the dynamics are such that when you don't have a good season, because you don't have a waiting list, and you don't have a good season, then your ticket sales go down. See, we're ebbing and flowing with the tides here, the tides of winning and losing, because demand, supply is exceeding demand. In towns where, in places where they've got waiting lists and people won't give up their tickets, etc., that doesn't mean those people were at the game. Now, I'm going to tell you, I covered the Steelers through some lean years when they had big-time no-shows, 15, 20,000 no-shows for late-season games, but every ticket was bought. The people just elected, I'm not going to give up my ticket because I'm going to want that ticket when the team gets good again. But I'm not going down and sit out in the cold to watch a game that means nothing and watch a team that's probably going to lose it. I'm not going to watch a bad team play a meaningless game. But they still kept the tickets because they knew that the repercussion of giving up the tickets for what was a season with low expectations meant never getting them back again. Well, we don't have that situation here, and that's the real problem. See, you can pick and choose your games, and you can pick and choose your seasons, and that won't work.
That was the only way I ever got to go to an Eagles game growing up. If a neighbor happened to have a ticket and wasn't going because they stinked in the 70s. That's a word, stink.
You want
to
hear something really bad? I'm ashamed to say this. My two sons, I came here in 95. So for all the years before I came here in 95, my two sons have never been to a Steelers game.
It's hard.
How am I going to get them in?
Yeah.
It's not, unless you know somebody who has tickets, you're screwed. Now, if you had that here, say, for instance, this was you had 42,000 years. Say this was a 40,000-seat stadium. Well, you can't. You couldn't survive that way. But say it was a 40,000-seat stadium. Then you'd probably have a waiting list, all right? And you'd have the same situation that other places have with 65,000-seat stadiums.
Right.
But we don't have that here. And because we don't have that here, people can choose their games and they can choose their seasons. And that is not going to work. Let's talk to Doug.
Let's take a break first. Yeah.
Do that.
We'll get a break in, and we'll come back. You can talk to Doug. Okay. If you want to talk to Vic, it's easy to do. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Out of town, 1-800-355-NFL1. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Vic will be back right here on Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio WOKV. All right, gang, this portion of Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. Victor is standing by. The number to call, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Victor, they're all yours, man.
Yeah, you talk about weather. Oh, yesterday was glorious. And it was Northeast Florida at its best. Sunny, cool. It was warm in the sun Yet the breeze was cool on your face. It was football weather. It was just fabulous. It was a fabulous game. It was fabulous weather. So we understand ourselves perfectly here. You who were at the game, you were great. You were fine. You were everything that any team could expect of its fans. You were enthusiastic, supportive, knowledgeable of what was going on, the whole bit. Got no problems with that. In fact, I have no problem with any of this, but you see, it's an issue. Soon as we start answering the phones, what do people want to talk about? They want to talk about attendance because they're worried about the future of their team in Jacksonville. So, I don't know what more I can say about this. I will gladly not talk about this if everyone else will let it alone. And maybe we can do that now if we go to Doug at the beach, who wants to talk about the game. Good evening, Doug.
Hey, Vic. Just for what it's worth, born and raised here in Jacksonville, and having attended sports events like the Jacksonville Team Inn and JU basketball at the Coliseum, I tend to see the magnitude of having an NFL here in our city. So I buy my tickets. I do what I can. But moving on, winning that ball game is important, not just so that we can feel good this week, but in my mind, while I understand your point about us rebuilding and having the mindset as a fan to understand that this team needs the space to rebuild, I still want to see us win ball games because I think it's important that we end up with enough of a record to get out of that first round slot of 1 through 10. And so
absolutely,
we don't have to end up paying that exorbitant amount of money to these rookies. So if we can finish with a good, decent enough record, I think that positions us well for the draft and not having to spend the money that we would have to if we finished poorly.
You're right on. And winning is just good for all reasons. Winning is better than losing. It feels better. It's also, as you said, it's a lot cheaper to win than it is to lose. There's a price tag with losing, and this team has paid it 2 years in a row with the eighth pick of the draft. It's fine if you have that pick and Mark Sanchez is available and there's a sweepstakes that kind of go with him. But if there's no quarterback, if there's no sweepstakes, you're just stuck with a pick. I'm sorry, Eugene, but, you know, you were expensive. And this team literally can't afford it. It's what they've spent the last 2 years on Derek Harvey and Eugene Monroe. They can't afford to spend every year. So what you're saying is right.
Yeah, and one last thing. I based on what I've seen so far from Gene Smith and the picks that he's made, I have confidence that he'll still be able to find us some talent in a later draft selection. So, it's not that we have to have the lottery, so to speak, and get a first or second pick in that first round to be able to get the premier player that everybody has targeted. So, again, I understand us having to rebuild, but I still want this team to win for that very reason.
Okay, thanks, Doug. Let's talk to Bill in Fleming Island, who also wants to talk about yesterday's game. Good evening, Bill.
Hey, Vic. How you doing there?
Good, buddy. You with us?
No, it wasn't dead. I'll give you a call back.
What? What happened? I don't know. What happened? Okay. He sounded like he was ready to go, and maybe you got the urge.
Could be.
It happens.
Could be.
Let's talk to Nancy in Ponte Vedra. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Vic. I'm a season ticket holder, and we lived in Jacksonville since 1984, and we were right on when they became we got a franchise here, and then we moved away, and we really realized what we missed living in Jacksonville. And my question to you, and I brought this up yesterday at the game with a couple people, what would it be like if everybody were to buy a ticket and have people show up at the stadium? And I don't know how it would work, but if we were to give fans a free ticket, I know it's a bad economy.
You'd have to have an agency. You would have to hire an agency that would have to have 40 to 50 people, full-time employees, to handle something like that. It's a wonderful idea. It's been proposed a million times. But everybody could do that on their own. Just buy a ticket and give it to somebody who can't buy a ticket. I mean, why hire an agency? Why have a business that's going to cost a lot of money to do something that everybody could do individually? This problem here isn't, Nancy, this isn't about finding people to use the tickets. This is about finding people to buy the tickets. Because what the Jaguars want and need is the money, all right? They need the money more than they need the butt in the seat. Every seat in that stadium has a dollar sign on it. And every time one of those seats doesn't have a butt in it, that dollar sign that represents the dollar amount that goes with that seat is flushed down the toilet. It's lost forever.
I listened to you earlier about what this shows for Jacksonville. And I have to tell you that, when we moved away, we died to be back in Jacksonville. So I can't imagine that people wouldn't want to support this team.
I don't think it's that they don't want to support the team. And the main reason that people go to a football game is because they want to go to a football game. The main reason why somebody would stay into overtime is because they can't imagine not staying into overtime. It's about the heart. It's about, this is where I want to be, and this is what I want to do, and I can't imagine doing anything else. I don't think this team has enough of those fans. More time would probably correct that. How much time does the team have? I don't know, Nancy. I just know that 42,000 tickets distributed isn't going to work. And with that, we'll go to our bottom of the hour break.
We'll do some news. First, fans, here's your chance to get free Jaguars merchandise. Just make JaguarsSearch.com your new online search engine. Every search is a chance to win digital dollars that can be redeemed for great prizes. It's just that easy. JaguarsSearch.com. Easy to get a hold of Vic, too. 355-NFL1. Jaguars Monday returns right after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday. On a Monday after the Jaguars defeat the Rams in overtime, you can vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. That's all part of First Down Touchdown Teachers. Just visit communityfirstfl.org for all the details.
The Jaguars are up to 11th in total offense. That's pretty good. 11th in rushing and 14th in passing. Those are solid numbers. 11th in total offense. David Garrard, by the way, over the last four games has a passer rating, I believe, of 89.6. If it wasn't for the two interceptions yesterday, a tip ball and then that horrible interception he threw that to Leonard Little, his passer rating would be well over 90. So he's had a good month, a good stretch of schedule. Jaguars have won three of the last four games, and he has played exceptionally well in three of those four games. In Seattle, you know, obviously it did not go well there for anybody on either side of the ball. On defense, the Jaguars are 24th overall with a 12th against the run ranking and 30th against the pass. Pass rush is still this team's major problem. They only have one sack yesterday. T. Ellison got one. And as it stands right now, the Jaguars are. They were last in sacks per pass plays going into yesterday's game, and they are right now last in the league in sacks per pass play. So that is their Achilles heel. Now, I will not be offended if you don't want to talk about attendance problems. So, Dave, in St. Augustine Beach, what would you like to talk about?
Jaguars Monday. Help is not on the way.
They don't need a lot of help. They don't need a lot of help. They got a lot of good things going on right now.
Absolutely, they do. It was a beautiful day at the stadium yesterday, and I was convinced that we would get St. Louis's best game. And I think that we may have. Would you concur?
Yeah. I thought Bolger was really, really strong for a guy, you know, in a comeback game. And I mean, here's a quarterback who I think has been very, very underrated for a long time. He's just shell shocked. He's been sacked so many times on a bad football team that, you know, he shows the signs of it. I mean, the ball is coming out really, really fast, and he's got no receivers at all. Yesterday, I've got it right here. Bolger was 22 of 34 for 213 yards, one touchdown and one interception. That's only a 79.7 passer rating, and that's because his yards per completion was so small. And then, of course, the interception, which was a deep ball in the end zone. If you're going to throw an interception, that's the one that doesn't hurt you. What else you got for us?
I wanted to say that I was glad, you know, the main thing that I wanted to see in the game was a win for one thing and to stay healthy. But I was glad to see us, you know, win the game, like you said, in crunch time. When the game has to be won, can you step up and make it happen when it's on the line? You know,
there's no avoiding that. There's no avoiding that in this league. That's, you know, the concept of swamp a team early and hang on, that's gone. You know, maybe there are some teams that are playing so well right now, such as the Patriots and the Colts, they can do that because their quarterbacks are just so dominant. But for everybody else, and it will be for those two teams in the postseason too, for everybody else, you got to get it done at crunch time. You've got to make plays the last time you have the ball. And David Garrard did that yesterday. Although the interception was horrible. It was horrible. Now, I can tell you that I've seen the best throw. I mean, I can remember Terry Bradshaw throwing those. It happens. But
one good thing to come out of those tough losses is lessons learned, and this young team definitely needed to learn those lessons, where if we just strolled through and won some easy games, we wouldn't have picked up the necessary knowledge and growth that they needed. So go Jaguars. Thanks, Vic.
Okay, Dave, I'm with you. Let's talk to James in Arlington because I think he wants to talk about Rasheem Mathis and the fact that Mathis has a finger injury, and we need to talk about that. James is gone, so let me tell you about Rasheem Mathis's finger injury. He has a finger injury. He did something bad to his finger yesterday, probably broke it. He's getting tests, or was getting tests when we did our press conference with Jack Del Rio today, that would reveal the extent of the injury. Jack Del Rio did not rule out surgery, but did rule out any possibility that it would be season-ending. Rasheem Mathis will probably find himself playing with a significant wrap on his hand, some kind of protective device, which is going to limit his ability to intercept the ball, to catch the ball, but it shouldn't impede his ability to defend the against the pass receiver. Let's talk to, let me look at this here. Let's talk to Trevor in Montreal. Good evening, Trevor.
How you doing, Vic?
Good, Trevor.
You already answered my question. Just because I heard this morning, I heard things that Leonard Little's play, the interception, was like a great play, so that I wasn't sure if it was like a not Gerard's fault. I guess it was just a bad throw.
Yeah, it's Little as a veteran, and he knew when he saw a particular kind of action in the backfield, he knew what it meant, and he knew, you know, to just kind of hang there until Gerard started his arm forward, and then he broke on the ball. I don't think Greg Jones got wide enough on the play. That was a problem. But David Gerard he's got to somehow, you know, sneak a look at that defensive end or a linebacker out there in the wing. He's got to sneak some kind of look out into the wing and make sure that he's not being baited. And he said yesterday he knew as soon as he released the ball, he wanted to reach out and pull it back. But it would have been a disaster if they had not rallied for that win. I would have felt as though the season was over. I would have felt as though everything was, you know, that they were cooked. Thank God he rallied.
Yeah, for sure. The other thing I just wanted to say was throughout the first three quarters, like, it kind of was Torrey Holt and Mike Sims-Walker, and I was wondering if they were going to use Mike Thomas, and I thought he looked really good in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. They've got a young receiver, Mike Thomas, who's making significant strides. Mike Sims-Walker, this is his third year in the league, and now he is fulfilling his promise. Torrey Holt is doing exactly what Torrey Holt was signed to do, which is give the receiving core stability. We still, you know, are going to see more of Zach Miller, and we're going to see more of Jarrett Dillard. And there's another guy, the other rookie, Tyquan Underwood. I've been told that he's doing some special things in practice. The wide receiver core of this football team is so head and shoulders above that group of crap they had last year. That's the reason. It's not the main reason. It is the reason that this team's offense is so much better this year than it was a year ago. The quarterback is the same. Quarterback is not the problem. The quarterback was not the problem. The problem was the wide receivers. They were horrible. Now, with these guys, with a young wide receiver core, the Jaguars are 11th in the league in passing. Let me check that. I'm sorry, they're 14th. 11th overall on offense, 14th in passing, and that's good. Let's talk to Leopold, my old buddy Leopold. He calls every week at the beach. Hi, Leopold.
Hey, how you doing, Vic?
Good.
I'm just calling about on the trading deadline tomorrow. I wonder, could we trade any players on our team or maybe a low draft pick for somebody like Eric Kempman who can help the pass rush for the rest of the season? Uh-huh. I think that's what we need to really be successful and try to make a playoff push.
It's not likely to happen. It's not likely to happen. What you're doing is you are using a baseball mentality. I mean, that's what baseball teams do. Hockey teams do it too. They get down to the trading deadline and they're looking for that one guy who can give them what they need for a playoff push. That's not football. It's just not the way it's done. Teams are satisfied usually with what they have, and they don't want to get rid of all the learning that they've put into the guy, that you know and the role that they've cast him in, et cetera. Do the Jaguars have players they could trade? I don't know. It's tough getting draft. It's tough trading guys for draft picks. It really is. If you're thinking in terms, I saw Quentin Groves' name bandied about. I can't imagine that you'd get anything for Quentin Groves. I just, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I wouldn't see it.
What about vice versa? Could you get rid of draft picks for guys?
Oh, sure. oh, they're lined up. They're lined up. You know, the teams are lined up wanting to get rid of crap and take your draft picks. Oh, absolutely. You call any team in the league and say, hey, can I have some, do you have some crap for me?
But that's all.
Oh, we got lots of crap for you. I mean, so in other words, the reason you can't do it is the same reason everybody else can't do it, because everybody else wants to do it. Everybody wants to get rid of guys for whom they don't have a role. But teams don't want to get rid of guys for whom they have a role. So if you don't, if you're willing to get rid of a guy, you're telling the team he can't play. you see, there's something about him we don't like. Let's take our final break. Is this our final break?
Final break.
Let's do it.
All right. Fans, Jaguars Rewards Program is your ticket to discounts and savings from a lot of merchants all around the greater Jacksonville area. Save on things like Jags gear, to money-saving offers at your favorite restaurants, and more. Just visit jaguars.com/rewards for more information. Last chance to get a hold of Vic. Do when we come back right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday. Fans, you can enter to win $50,000 towards your new home with Prudential Network Realty's Take It to the House drawing. One winner will be chosen from each home game. You and a guest could win tickets, a parking pass, and a chance to win $50,000. Just log on to PrudentialNetworkRealty.com for all the details.
Bill from Fleming Island is disappointed. Bill, why are you disappointed?
No, I'm not disappointed, Vic.
You're not?
No. I just been hanging on this line, and my cell phone went dead, and everything, whatever. But, hey, man, I appreciate all you do, and I'm a Jaguars fan, and I'm a Vic fan.
Oh, I
and,
like that.
Let me give you a little episode of what happened this weekend. It was unbelievable.
All right.
yeah. I got these people that do the Winn-Dixie tickets, you know. Mm-hmm. Don't want to put in a blurt for Winn-Dixie here or whatever, but, you know, it's $5 off for $30 purchase. And they, you know, they get you tickets or whatever, and they go around Winn-Dixie and give it to the younger folks or the older folks or whatever, you know. That's here and there. But walking down to my seat, now I've been a 15-year Jaguar fan.
Mm-hmm.
Walking down to my seat, this girl says, "Where's your ticket?" And I says, "Well, I just gave it to that guy there, you know." And she says, "Well, you can't go to your seat. You ain't got a ticket." I says, "What are you talking about?" So I went ahead and walked down to my seat, and then a JSO guy came up after the flyover and grabbed me by the arm, says, "Sir, you got to go."
Hmm.
I says, "What do you mean I got to go?" Says, "You don't have a ticket. This woman here says you don't have a ticket," or whatever. And then everybody, you know, after 15 years, you got all these neighbors all around you, whatever. And they were saying, "Hey, this guy here is being here longer than you've been with GSO."
Did you get to see the game or not?
Yeah. Okay. I did. You know. But, you know, the thing about it was it was such a big hassle, mm-hmm, with JSO, and this woman was a Jaguars employee, and he says, "Hey, she says you got to go." And I says, "Hold on for a minute." You know, everybody around me was saying, "Hey, this guy here has been here forever," or whatever.
Bill, I'm glad you got to see the game. I got to go, too, because I got the line stacked up. Thanks for calling, Bill. How about, let's see here, Tim wants to talk about draft picks. Let's talk to Tim. That sounds like fun. Tim,
hey,
how
there.
Are you?
Is this Vic?
It sure is.
Hey, Vic. First-time caller, season ticket holder. You know, we've got 19 players left from the drafts from 03 to now, and it was probably Shaq's fault. But don't you think that some of the fans are, I got a construction company and the guys who work for me think that it's Del Rio's getting blamed for a lot of that. And do you agree with that or not?
Oh, you mean the on the personnel side or the coaching side? Are you saying
either
that
one? He's they're trying to make him the scapegoat, and they're
I don't know if you hear it, but I hear it all the time, you know, about...
let me answer the... James Harris was fired.
Yes.
All right? He was fired for a reason. He was fired because personnel was a mess. Was
a
mess.
I like Del Rio. But my point getting, I'm just throwing this out there because I don't want this to happen because I think it'll make us go backwards. But would getting a new coach, higher profile coach maybe, or any coach, change the people coming to the stadium? That was my point.
No, I can promise you that's not going to sell tickets. And anybody who thinks that a coach or a player is going to sell tickets for any extended period of time without it being accompanied by winning is they're just
wrong.
They're delusional. It's just not going to happen. I mean, I can give you example after example after example of guys who failed to sell tickets. Jimmy Johnson failed to sell tickets when he came back to Miami. It's right in the attendance figures for the Dolphins. Their attendance from Shula to Johnson decreased. There are a few isolated examples of players who have sold tickets. Michael Vick did it in Atlanta. Joe Namath did it in New York. Of course, the Jets situation there, that was, you know, the AFL was just about, was in the process of graduating from an inferior junior league to a comparable, to a league that was comparable in quality to the NFL when he joined the AFL. So we're not really sure if the improvement of the AFL sold the tickets or Joe Namath sold the tickets. But Red Grange, Joe Namath, Michael Vick, those are your examples.
Right.
I mean, I can give you player after player after player who failed to sell tickets.
What's scary, the Jaguars were coming into last year, they were a winning team, went to playoff, won a game and went two deep. And we still had blackouts last year.
Yeah, well, they got blackouts this year, and it's really,
yeah,
really bad. And I don't know much more.
How can we do that? I hate to see it. Look, let me
tell you what's going to fix blackouts. I'm going to tell you what's going to fix the attendance problem. People buying tickets. Don't pray for a savior. Help is not on the way. Tim Tebow isn't going to fix this. Did you watch the game on Saturday? He's going to wind up longer than Byron Leftwich. He's not going to fix this. You are going to fix this. The fan is going to fix this. Buying tickets is what's going to fix this. Valuing the notion of having an NFL team in your city and expressing that is going to fix this. One player isn't going to fix this. One coach isn't going to fix this. We beat our heads against the wall on this over and over and over, looking for any reason we can find other than you got to lay out the long green and buy the tickets. But that's it. It's the only answer. If the town doesn't have it, then we know what's going to happen. I like I said, I will not be offended if next Monday nobody wants to talk about this, because I don't want to talk about this, because I know what the truth is. The truth is the seats are empty, and that's all that matters. Is it almost over?
It's over, Vic. It's over now. Nothing is over until we say
next Monday. Not one question on this. I will not do it.
Good. Deal.
Thanks, Joe.
Fair enough. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Jack Del Rio Show, Brian Sexton and the coach sit down right here on WOKV. And, of course, Vic is back on Wednesday with Jaguars This Week. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Jaguars Monday with Vic Ketchman, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty. This is AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV.